Welcome to Today on Broadway for Friday, March 29th, 2024. I'm Broadway Radio's Matt Tamanini.
And I'm at my limit. I'm Grace Hockey.
Grace, a lot's going on. I know you had a very busy day. It's heading into a very busy weekend as well. Everybody who is celebrating holidays this week and over the weekend, we hope that whatever you are celebrating, even if that is just praying to the very furry bunny that hops around, we wish you the best and we hope that you have a wonderful time with friends, family, and loved ones. Speaking of that, though, Grace, we will not have an episode of Today on Broadway on Monday, but we will have an interview and an episode in the podcast feed, and this one is coming from you. So tell me a little bit about the interview that you did with somebody from a highly anticipated show this spring.
Yeah, so I was really excited to chat with Luke Fallon, who's coming up in Patriots on Broadway. Of course, like he starred in Leopoldstadt in the West End, Patriots on the West End as well. And so he's stayed with the show for a while. And I just wanted to talk with him about like what that process has been like and how he's honestly like enjoying being an actor on Broadway. Like it's so different than the experience that they have in the West End. And he's just such a celebrated actor and so young and vibrant and is going to be starring in Hamlet on the West End as well. So it was really, really great to chat with him. So I think it'll be a worthwhile listen for sure.
Absolutely. So keep your ears out for that on Monday. And again, have a wonderful holiday. But Grace, we are recording later than normal because on Thursday night over at the Nederlander Theater, the Who's Tommy revival opened up on Broadway. This is the show that features music and lyrics by Pete Townsend and a book by Pete Townsend and Des McAnuff. McAnuff originally directed the show back in the 90s. He is back to direct again, and Lauren Lataro choreographs. In the title role is Ali Lewis-Borsky. Also in the company of principals are John Ambrosino, Bobby Conti, Adam Jacobs, Allison Luff, Christina Saju, and more. If you're unfamiliar with this show, which it seems hard to imagine for someone my age, because even though I'm younger than the audience, the original audience for the album, like this has just been so prevalent in pop culture for so long. But after witnessing his father shoot his rival, the young Tommy Walker is lost in the universe, endlessly and obsessively staring into the mirror. An innate knack for pinball catapults him from reticent adolescent to celebrity savior. Now, Grace, a number of these reviews did mention the fact that the way that Tommy is described in, you know, essentially the title song as a deaf, dumb, and blind kid probably doesn't meet the language standards for something of 2024, but a lot of the lyrics from those original songs that were written in the 60s, even if they are considered ableist and insensitive, were kept in this show for this production. So I wanted to make sure that we note that going in. But according to review aggregator site, Did They Like It? As of recording time, they have collected 12 reviews. 10 of them were positive, one was mixed, and one was negative. But here's the thing, that one negative was the one that generally matters. The New York Times, the Grey Lady's Jesse Green was negative, obviously not a critic's pick, but I will read his review in parts. He said, quote, that its plot makes no sense is not really the problem with Tommy. When it first appeared as a concept album in 1969, it was, after all, billed as a rock opera. And let's face it, if you've ever paid attention to its story unstoned, you're going to have some questions, just as you might with the Magic Flute. Nor can you complain about the rock part of the billing. There's some pretty magic guitaring going on and some righteously harmonized vocals. Today, though, unless you're a diehard fan who thrills automatically to every lick and lyric, you may want something that calls itself musical theater to offer more than a full-tilt assault on the senses. This production won't provide that, being less interested in trying to put across the story than in obscuring it with relentless noise and banal imagery. He continues, this parade of odd plot points and narrational perplexities passes quite swiftly, perhaps, at little more than 2 hours, too swiftly, as the story is hard to follow and harder to swallow. That's why I find it more profitable to think of Tommy not as a chain of events, but as a dream you are watching from a perch inside someone's amygdala. Still, lovers of rock concerts with tons of effects may yet like Tommy, even if it seems self-defeating to parrot arena show aesthetics in a musical that implicitly criticizes arenas as sites of thoughtless idolization and fascistic violence. What I missed in the middle of all that overemphasis was some sense of humanity, a couple of violins balancing the guitars, a touch of real Townsend. Because when everything's in effect, no matter how brilliant, none can be special. Again, most of the other reviews were positive. Adam Feldman of Time Out New York gave the show 4 out of 5 stars, saying, quote, "Despite problems, the show works, and its epic choral finale somehow feels genuinely rousing and healing. As musical theater, Tommy is limited. On its own terms, it's often sensational." Sarah Holdren of Vulture said, quote, "With Tommy, if the dissonance is sometimes distancing, it's also fascinating. Though I spent long stretches of the show intrigued and amused rather than earnestly rocking out, I was never not entertained. I had plenty of questions, but I also had a damn good time." Emmalyn Travis, writing for Entertainment Weekly, said, quote, "In 1965, Tommy was adapted into a deliciously delirious film that featured the tagline, quote, 'Your senses will never be the same.' Now, The Who's Tommy carries that torch forward in its own radical, one-of-a-kind adventure that truly has to be seen to be believed. See it, feel it, you won't forget it." And then finally, Greg Evans of Deadline said, quote, "With a superb cast headed by Broadway newcomer Ali Louise Borsky as Tommy, the deaf, dumb, and blind kid, and Allison Leff as his mom, Mrs. Walker, Tommy feels less like a stick-to-what-works revival than a top-to-bottom reimagining. Nearly all of it works beautifully." All right, Grace, now I know you saw the show, so what did you take away from the Broadway revival of The Who's Tommy?
I felt really similarly to some of the, unfortunately, criticism of, I think, like how it sits in our time. Like, I want to start first and foremost by saying that when the iPod came out, I know, imagine a time. It's like, I'm not that old. But the iPod came out, and in the same year, the Dell DJ came out. My dad said, "I think the Dell DJ is a better investment." So he bought me a Dell DJ for Christmas. Fool. And the only 4 albums that I wanted on it immediately to download was Best of Queen, The Best of The Who, Outkast's Hey Ya, and Come On Eileen. So I love The
Dexy's
Who.
Dexy's Midnight Rider.
Yeah. And I love The Who so much. And I grew up listening to them really, really religiously. Cut to me in the final preview of the show last evening, where I was 4 seats down from Pete Townsend and the entire original cast of The Who's Tommy was there. And also Sting was there, Cerberus, like everyone was there. And I was like, holy shit. So the feeling in the theater was electric. Yeah. If you will, like very much like the show. And I'm a huge fan of Bobby Conti. I love Allison Love. Remember Escape to Margaritaville? I will never forget. This show is so challenging because you've got a really phenomenal cast. You do. None of this comes from a place of like criticism of that. Like, I think that the plot and what they were kind of talking about is like, there's a lot of like strange ableist pedophilia that like none of it gets addressed. And I don't think it didn't feel like it was really about anything at this point. Like it feels like someone said, "I just miss how I felt when I saw that. Can you do it again?" And maybe, but I don't think you're ever going to get that feeling back. It's hard. It's really hard. And it felt lost on me, but I know that it holds a very special place in a lot of people's hearts. And I love that people still have that feeling and that connection to the piece. I think that extracting that from it, if you were to park this in front of an audience that maybe had never seen it or heard it, they might be a little confused and challenged by the fact that like there's an uncle that, you know, molests his nephew and that never gets spoken about. Like there's no repercussions for this person. And not that it always has to have that, but it just felt like this really intense, like there was constant like trauma dumping and then kind of like no resolve for it. I don't know. I had so many lingering questions and concerns about it that I couldn't enjoy it as much as I wanted to. And as much as I love The Who. Yeah. I think in the world that it sits in for revivals, especially, it's in a very precarious space because it's hinging. And a lot of them are this season hinging on that nostalgia. And how much are we honoring it? And how much are we challenging it is my question.
Yeah, the reviews were obviously very strong, even if, you know, the paper of record was not. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this one moving forward. All right, Grace, there's a lot of like show and casting things that I'm going to run through. But on Thursday, the Jamie Lloyd Company announced the full cast for the upcoming revival of Romeo and Juliet, starring Tom Holland. Playing opposite him as Juliet will be newcomer Francesca Amawuto-Rivers. Also in the cast are Freema Agyeman as the nurse, Michael Balogun as Friar, Tomiwa Idun as Capulet, Maya Jerome as Montague, Daniel Quinn Toy as Paris, Ray Sisa as Tybalt, Nima Talagani as Benvolio, and Joshua Alexander Williams as Mercutio. The show is slated to begin performances at the Duke of York Theater on Thursday, May 23rd, and is only going to be playing through Saturday, August 3rd. Grace, this should not come as a surprise because it is a Jamie Lloyd production, but there are also two people listed in the cast as camera operators. So Jamie Lloyd, back to Jamie Lloyd things, but absolutely fascinated to hear all about this. I'm hoping that we either get a transfer of this or get some sort of recording so that people over on this side of the Atlantic can watch it as well. All right, sticking back on the New York stages, yesterday was announced that some of Chicago's tried and true stars will be returning to the Broadway revival of the show, as Bianca Marroquin and Natasha Yvette Williams will return to the Ambassador Theater next month. She will return to the role of Roxy Hart on April 8th, the same night that Natasha Yvette Williams will join the company again as Matron Mama Morton. And then in a story that I'm going to have to admit, Grace, I don't know a ton about. Like, I understand the words in this press release, but this is a part of the performing arts culture that I don't know much about. But over at the Perlman Performing Arts Center in New York City, that's the new PAC NYC building, they're going to be doing what they are calling Cats, the Jellicle Ball. And we've talked about this before. It is going to be a production of Cats that is focused on the world of ballroom. Now, this is not ballroom dancing like you see on Dancing with the Stars. Grace, can you explain what this type of ballroom is?
Yeah, this is a style. It's from my full understanding is that it's not classical ballroom style in the sense of flamenco or a proper waltz or anything like that. This is ballroom the way that New York City especially has, especially in the late 80s, early 90s, ballroom culture was really, really big, kind of at the height of drag, but not so much like voguing and tutting and all these styles of dance came out of it. And to me, this is one of the smartest, most innovative, like on paper, I honestly don't even care how it comes out because it's going to be great. But on paper, it's a brilliant redesign and recontextualization of the Jellicle Ball and Cats. Like if you're going to reframe something like this, a cast like this, the way that it's stacked is so cool. And I don't know if you're going to get into like the full rundown of all those people, but yeah, I can So just to kind of like reframe it, these performers are not only some musical theater people, but also like very well known in the world of movement and dance in these styles, especially like voguing and tutting, things like that.
Yeah, if you're familiar with the FX show Pose that Billy Porter was on, this is kind of that same world. The ballroom scene is specifically dominated by Black and Latino queer performers. So that is what you're going to see in this cast. First, I will run through the theater performers that are going to be in the show. They include, but are not limited to, Andre DeShields as Old Deuteronomy, Sidney James Harcourt as Rum Tum Tugger, Shireen Pimentel as Jelly Lorem, and Antoine Hopper as McCavity. There are others in there, some names you might be familiar with. But on the other side of things, they have brought in a number of famous ballroom performers. The 2-time Ballroom Women's Performance of the Year Award winner, Baby, is going to be playing Victoria. Renowned ballroom DJ Capital Chaos is going to be the DJ for it. The founding mother of the new Kiki Royal House of Silk, Robert Silk Mason, will play Mistopheles. The queen mother of the House of Mason Margola, Temperess Chastity Moore, will be playing Grisabella, and Primo as Tumble Brutus. I don't know who most of those people are. I don't think that will shock anybody who's listening. But I think the fact, like you said, Grace, that this is the way they are taking this production is very smart. And I think it's going to be very, very successful at the Performing Arts Center.
I also want to shout out Emma Sophia Camaras, who was in the most recent production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory on Broadway as Veruca Salt. She is an incredible Latina dancer. She also has done like things with Ballet Hispanico and things like that. But she was also in the original Finding Neverland cast as Wendy. Watching her dance and perform is so breathtaking. Like, I know she's been in some of these kind of like family friendly musicals, and so we've kind of put her in this spot, but like, she's so stunning. So you might have seen her on Broadway in some of those shows, but I think in this show specifically, she's going to be totally different as Skimbleshanks.
All right, Grace. So this is something we don't hear often. If you remember earlier this week, Mother Play pushed back its first preview by a day. Well, Stereophonic has decided to do the opposite. They are moving up their first Broadway performance by a day. They will now begin performances on April 2nd. And here's the kicker. For that newly added show, every single ticket will be $40. So they are available now on Telecharge and at the Golden Theater. I think this is awesome. I'm so excited to see this show again. I've already got my press request in to get it on my second April trip, but absolutely pumped about it. I cannot wait for more people to have the opportunity to check out this show written by David Adjimi and featuring music by Arcade Fire's Will Butler. All right, some other show news here, Grace. Yesterday, the Classic Stage Company announced that its previously announced production of Wine in the Wilderness, a play by Alice Childress and directed by LaShanz, is going to be postponed. Apparently, scheduling issues. They didn't say who that was, whether that was LaShanz or somebody who has been cast in the show. It is going to move to next season. So you can still count on seeing it at Classic Stage Company, but it won't be until the 2024-2025 season. And then, Grace, something that you sent me a message about, as I'm assuming as soon as you saw it, more stars have been added to the lineup for MCC's Miscast happening at the Hammerstein Ballroom on April 15th. Joining the previously announced group will be Wayne Brady, Amber Amon, Michael Kilgore, and Jinx Monsoon. There were already some great stars going to be in it. There are now even more great stars. So excited to see what all of these people perform. And there are still tickets available if you want to check that out.
Because we will be seeing them together, you and I. We will be seeing it.
Yes, if you didn't realize that, you can go back and check a previous episode when Grace learned about that live on air. All right, Grace, real quick, two feel-good recommendations. One is another performance from Broadway Backwards, and I loved this one. This one was so cute and adorable to watch two old men sing about a pineapple. Original Sondheim stars Lynn Carrieu and Chip Zion saying "It Couldn't Please Me More" from Cabaret. It was very lovely. I enjoyed that a lot. And then we spoke about new casting for Chicago earlier. Well, they had a new cast member join the production earlier this week, and that is, of course, Robin Herder. And we got to see her first entrance and a little bit of her first All That Jazz in a post from the production. So you can check that out in the show notes. All right, everybody, that's all that we have for today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Radio. And you can follow me on Instagram, I guess, at BWWMatt. Grace, where can people find you?
You can find me at It's Grace Aki.
All right, everybody, have a wonderful Friday, a wonderful weekend, happy holidays, and we'll be back to talk to you on Tuesday, but there will be an episode on Monday as well.